God creates us for relationships, and they're both a tremendous blessing and a tremendous source of challenge and pain in our lives. Probably some of your most joyful moments, you know, when you think back, are time spent with loved ones, the people around you that mean a lot, and your own relationship with God. Two great commandments. Love God, love your neighbor, have to do with those relationship times. God creates healthy relationships. We're so glad. And yet, at the same time, some of the most painful times, time of most heartache, tears, anxiety, depression, are probably from the key relationships you have in your life, or even with an occasional stranger that, you know, just messes up your whole focus about God's goodness. And so relationships also great place, source of pain and strain and difficulty. I imagine if you think back on the trials, let's say, of the past year, it wasn't because, you know, that 79 Ford that you have is such a lemon, and when you get to the end of your life, you're going to say, ah, that was the worst trial I had, just that car, you know, or my computer that froze up on me all the time. It was such a horrible experience. It's probably going to be you and people. You and people were the rough part of life, but also great blessing potential. So the Apostle Paul experienced that with the Corinthian church. He experienced that in other places. He couldn't accept Mark and his failure. The writer of the Gospel, Mark, said, I can't work with you anymore. That's it. So that's something two biblical people say, I can't work with you anymore. That's enough of that. There's a fierce disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Everybody got along with Barnabas. Barnabas got along with everybody except Paul. Paul said, I'm not going with you on the next trip. I can't do it if this other guy is there. And also, Paul fiercely opposed Peter to his face when he thought Peter was wrong on a practice of, you know, how to follow God. He stood up right in front of everybody and said, you know, Apostle Peter, you are not right in what you're doing and what you're thinking. So it was like, whoa, that's something. The strain of relationship among godly people. Why? Because we still live in the mess of it all, as an old song says. And the most godly people are going to taste that and have that in your life. So if you fight with others, if you have heartache and strain, some unresolved, some resolved, you're a normal Bible Christian. Okay, you're a normal Bible Christian. I don't know of anybody who just, you know, has peace with everybody at all times. Paul had to say, as much as possible, you do that, but often it's not going to happen. And so Paul, in Corinthians, in the passage read, he talked about hardships. They were from people, troubles, beatings, prison time. He said they thought he was an imposter. He was sorrowful. He faced dishonor. Okay, that's rough. And he said also he did express purity, understanding to others, patience. He said it was a mixed bag. There was rejoicing. There was possessing everything. And he had a desire for both unconditional love with people around him, but also confrontation. He was able to tell the Corinthians when they were off, this is not right, this is going to hurt you, but he loved them all the time. So he said, open wide your hearts, because my heart is open wide to you. So one of the commandments Jesus would give us would be, have an open heart in your relationships with people. Okay, on your end. The door's always open. Okay, the door's always open on your end. And so that's what Paul wanted to do. And when we do that, God brings healing and change to ourselves and to the people around us. One fairly contemporary example would be one of Billy Graham and Ruth Graham's daughters. Okay, now he has a dear family, him and Ruth, they're both in heaven, but they raise a family. Brother Franklin, of course, who some of you have met. But one of the sisters, and they're all dear people, Ruth, the daughter, named after mom, of Billy and Ruth Graham, she had such a tough life with a lot of relationship pain in it that she couldn't seem to shake every turn she would go. And so before the age of 50, she went through three marriages. She was divorced three times. Now you can imagine being the daughter of Billy and Ruth Graham, you know, well, I want to have everything go well in my life, and boy, I certainly have great parents and so forth. But she has three marriages dissolve, and really painful time for her. In spite of that, at this time, she does have a viable ministry helping people in tough times. Wrote a couple books about Mom and Dad, The Legacy of Mom, The Legacy of Dad, to honor them. And she wrote a good book called In Every Pew, A Broken Heart. Okay, In Every Pew, A Broken Heart. So it's kind of where all of us are. And she tells a story about when the second marriage ended. Well, before that, besides that heartache, I tell you about her children. Now, this is Billy Graham's great-grandchildren, or just grandchildren, rather. Billy Graham's grandchildren. So Ruth's children, they see difficulties. The oldest daughter ends up with eating disorder, quite severe, to the point where that could kill you if you don't deal with it. Okay, eating disorder for the oldest daughter, Billy Graham's granddaughter. Second son, drug addiction. Okay, he's crushed by that. He goes into rehabilitation, back on his feet, and so forth. So that's the son. Third daughter, two children outside of marriage. First child, she said, I'm too young, I can't do this, passed on. So one of Billy Graham's grandchildren is out there somewhere. Okay, she's out there somewhere, adopted by a loving family. Okay, I'm sure she'll follow the Lord in God's providence. But they don't know where she is, I'm sure. And off they go. And the second child born is kept. No dad in the picture, but this is a family of one of the strongest, Christian couples of the last century. Daughter having a rough time. Grandchildren have quite a rough time. Ruth, the daughter who went through all this, she says when the second marriage ended, she felt crushed, felt like a failure. It only lasted about 5 weeks. She's going home expecting who knows what. We told you so. We told you to slow up. What were you thinking? Can't believe you did that again. What is she going to hear? She comes home, drives up the driveway. Billy Graham, the dad, he's standing out there waiting for her. And she gets out of the car and he goes and hugs her and says, "Welcome home." Okay, and then there's a beginning of some healing in her life. The thought that, hey, there's unconditional love still from Mom and Dad. They're in my corner. They'll help me pick up the pieces and I can have a new beginning. Open heart, creating an open heart. Okay. Dad's open heart, creating the open heart of Ruth Graham. And then, good things happening from there. Not without pain. Still had another marriage end after that. But still, God's ways prevailed in the midst of painful relationship problems. And the secret was, I'm sure in Billy and Ruth's mind, God treated us in a certain manner. He stuck with us all the time. And so we're going to treat our daughter this way and our grandchildren this way. Okay, so God's faithfulness kind of gets rolled up into the family and gets passed on, family member to the family member. And Paul, in the Corinthian people, he says, look, salvation is right here. Today's the day of salvation. This kind of relationship you can have with God. God, your Father. The day of salvation is now. It's the accepted time. Accepted time implies people are accepted by God. Come with your problems. Welcome home. Turn to me and you'll hear, welcome home. And so God is like that to us. A time of favor, God's favor, showering favor on people. It's good to hear. Somebody was telling me before church about a mafia leader. And there's been a number of these. Mafia leader who turned to Christ and was able to say, no, I'm not going to be involved in, you know, illegal activities and violence and murder anymore. I'm going to go follow Jesus. And it's been a new, he was under God's favor. And he said yes to that. So the Corinthians needed to hear that. Because God would treat him that way, they were able to hopefully begin to treat each other that way, and Paul appealed to them. And if you took the Greek word favor or accepted, it's a wonderful language, you know, it gets pretty detailed. It means well received in your relationship to God. Hopefully you think, hey, I'm well received by Christ. Not because of, you know, what I've done or whatever. But because of him, wow, he loves sinners. An assured welcome. So you begin to treat others like that. A gracious welcome. Think of where you feel that you're most at home. You know, maybe it's with your loved ones, Christian brothers and sisters, whatever. People go to the bar looking for a, you know, gracious welcome. Is there a gracious welcome? But what is needed is the Lord approved and propitious justice satisfied. That's three big words, means that the wrong that's in our lives, Jesus has taken on for forgiveness at the cross. And so what a great thing God would do for the Corinthians, for Paul. So Paul wanted this grace passed in an open-hearted relationship. The grace, Charles Hodge, an old Princeton a theologian, said this, it's the influence of God's Spirit as an unmerited favor. And that's what that young Ruth Graham experienced. Dad gave me unmerited favor when I went home. You know, could you give that unmerited favor to yourself? Because God would give it to you. Could you give it to your brothers and sisters in Christ? God would give it to them. And could you give the news of unmerited favor to the person who knows nothing about Christ? You know, they think church and church people are a bunch of folks trying to do good and falling on their face every week. Well, that's a little bit of the story, but the big story is what God would do for us. So favoring, so amazing, and the Lord can do that. Open heart toward us, open heart toward him back, open heart toward other people, open heart back as God leads. One caution from the Gospel Transformation Bible commentary here. No one wants to have restricted affections or conditional love. You really don't like that when you go into a relationship. Be it husband and wife, you know, parent to child, Christian brother to Christian sister. You know, we want to be more open-hearted. But this is exactly what we find when we grow suspicious of the gospel. If we say, oh, I don't think God accepted me or given me his favor. I'm not sure about that. So I'm not sure about you. And I'm not sure about me. And then we're moving away from good news at that point. Our attention, if we become suspicious of God's unconditional love, our attention shifts to what we do. It's very important. With ingratitude, we forget what the Lord has done. We expect of ourselves and we expect of others more this and more that. I'll give you an example you could probably relate to. Getting ready for church today, watching television, and Christian TV guy saying basically in the big bold letters on the screen, send $1,000 and God will increase your faith. More of this and you'll get more of that. And we all say, boy, that's stupid, you know. I never send $1,000. At least not this month. You know. But to put your favorite work in there. Put your favorite work in there. A little bit more singing and you'll be surprised what God will do for you. A little bit more of this, a little bit more of that. A little bit more praying, and you'll be surprised what God will do for you. little bit more whatever, and God will come through for you. Okay? God becomes like a, what's those machines you put money in? And vending machine. Our relationship with God is not a vending machine. Okay, he said, the news is, I will come and do for you. Now, do you want that or not? Okay, I didn't come to ask you for more of this, more of that, or more than the other. Because all that stuff, all that human effort, just not, doesn't add anything to the great work of Jesus. So, in relationships, we can start to say, well, Christ loves that person. I'm going to attempt to offer the grace and mercy of God also. So here's summarizing. Corrupt good news would be salvation by grace. What we do then is our responsibility, and we get to heaven by both. Really puts heaven based on, it puts it back in our lap. And we're going to fumble. Okay. Here's the Bible good news. Salvation that God would give. Relationships with God and with people, they have to be a gift. If they're earned or deserved, you don't want to be in any kind of relationship that you have to earn or deserve. And then heaven as a gift too. So Jesus comes and does it change a person's heart? I would say the evidence that in your lives is yes. Because there's no way you'd be here on a Sunday morning singing praises to God if it was all on your shoulders, you know, to work your way to heaven. Or relationships as a gift. Oh, man, a fair gift. I'm going to treat him as such. And so things from Ephesians to remember, just in closing, it talks about the works of God. He's radically saved us. His love is there. Chose us before time began. In relationships, not only chose us, but chose who we're going to be around. That's something. We're loved and accepted in our relationship with God and hopefully other believers. We're forgiven in relationship with God. This is already accomplished. We're secured us by the Spirit. Okay, He does that for us. Seats us in the heavenlies, makes us His workmanship, creates us for good works. So we're on the move, you know, we're having that packing party and so forth, united into the body, and so to love, not to get love. Ruth, come home. So, and we'll straighten you out. You know, you come home and do it right, and then you can keep coming home. Now, Ruth, come home. And because God loves you. And then she loves from God's love. She loves from God's love, and so does her parents. So it's a good opportunity. One final illustration from Mr. Charles Stanley. A guy goes to a place of work, does faithful work 10 years, you know, does a great job. He's passed over in a promotion opportunity. Company hires a new person, less experience, less ability, but the other guy gets the job, promotion, more pay, and so forth. It's going to be tough. How's he going to go to work on Monday? You know, he got passed over. So he goes and talks to the boss. He says, look, you know, I just want to let you know, I love being here. I just want to keep working well, and don't forget about me next time, kind of thing. Just an opportunity to speak his peace. But how does he get, what is going to change his life to keep working? He wants to have an open heart toward the new guy. In fact, he keeps working as well as he ever worked. And he does everything he can to help the new guy succeed. Okay, everything he can. Why? Because God has helped him succeed in every possible way. You know, in life, God's help. And he wants to return the favor or return the gracious welcome that he has received. No, certainly not easy, but much more joyful than the road he could take. Okay. No, you earn my respect. I'll love you when I see you, if you've straightened out, you know. I'll be good to you if you be good to me first. That there's no end to that dead end. But the grace of God in relationship, opening wide our hearts with a gracious welcome from God, and us doing that from just how good the Lord is. It's a great opportunity. We're talking to somebody the other day. Every person we know is really an opportunity to show the grace of God too. It really is. And without remembering how God has treated us, we probably won't do it. We'll probably just go about our merry way and whatever. But if we remember how good God has been to us, then we're able to extend the same grace and mercy to others. And it's the gospel's a life changer, even between Paul and the Corinthians. And let's pray and ask God for help with this. Lord, thank you. Paul really went the extra mile, as it were, with the Corinthians, and his life was a lot of ups and downs, a lot of pain. But he wanted the grace of God to prevail. And so both in his own soul and his ability to treat others well, might it be for each of us. Lord, remind us of your great welcome of us. And might we feel that in our soul, believe that in our mind, be committed to that in our actions and behavior. And just as you empower us, pass that on to as many as possible. You'll give us the wisdom, Lord, when to be self-protective and so forth. That's understandable. But to take the initiative of grace and mercy, that's when we're at our best. So help us do that with your great lead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in a